This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not looking at enough at the mental health of people that end up doing mass shootings, which when you think about it, they're random. They don't know anyone. Sometimes, in one case, someone had been fired from that school. But most of the time, these are random shootings, people that are psychotic, people that were not looked at, people that evaded obvious signs where they weren't looked at. We don't have enough mental health personnel in this country. We don't have them on the ground. We don't have interventions in place. We're really focused on guns, not on the people shooting them. They're going to get their guns. The issue is, what's their mental health like? We have an enormous crisis, and we've been seeing, and CDC has been putting out reports on this, that teens and young adults are in trouble. Young women are suicidal. Depression, anxiety is flourishing coming out of the pandemic. It's an enormous problem, and it's leading to these shootings.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrance joins us once again. He's a regular on Gutfeld, a Fox News contributor, and he has a book out that you should check out, Enough Said. You can get that right away. Tyrance, welcome back to the show. Sad news yesterday. We're in the same place as we found ourselves many, many times before. We're hoping you would be able to talk about it with us today.
Yeah, I know you don't want to talk about baseball because I just got swept by the Mets. I need time.
Okay, well, yeah, we can give you some time. I don't even know what the Cardinals are doing right now. It's up and it's down.
The Yankees once, I know that.
You know, when another school shooting ends up happening, a lot of people jump to their respective corners. There's a lot of politics. We're in the middle of a campaign season. It's not avoidable on the national news conversation scene. But I think that what Dr. Mark Siegel was saying there is important, and it's the mental health of our young people. And I know that you care about this. You talk very openly and honestly about how we spend time with our children and not give them electronics to babysit them and so on and so forth. But I'm wondering if you have seen mental health, like, do you prioritize that as a concern when we have school shootings like this, kind of the same MO?
No, I don't. I always feel like it's a cop-out. That's the same thing as blaming guns on violence, not people on violence. If you don't have banks where they have less security because there might be someone with a mental health issue, they just assume that someone is always trying to rob them. That's why they're always up in the security. That's why their stuff's state-of-the-art. That's why if you go in there, you can't get out. You know, they don't have, you know, so I always look at that as like, it's mental health, nothing we can do about it. No, I'm sorry. That's not good enough anymore. Schools are soft targets. The protocols aren't followed. There needs to be, it's not even the, it needs to be made a hard target. When I say that, and I get frustrated because this isn't hard. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's harder to get into a professional sports game than it is a school. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And we spend billions of dollars on protecting other countries, but we don't protect our own children. Like, it's a joke. As a former teacher, it's like, you know, everyone has to be on board. And I don't think it's even fair at this point for it to be all the burden of the police department. We have people in this country who have served overseas, who we have veterans coming home. They know what to look for. They're trained what to look for. Behaviors, erraticness, like dealing with, you know, people, suicide bombers and all these other kind of things. We have the abilities. We have the depth. We have the knowledge. We have people who are willing to volunteer. But it should be a payable job. It's not hard to do this. Literally every school district has a SWAT unit specifically for school protections, and they're on a route, and you have three in each school. And it's literally less than a percentage of percentage to do this.
Yeah.
And you would have the police presence at the school. You would have a military experience presence at the school, training at the school. And you could also make sure that there's someone who's like, hey, all school doors during class hours are closed. You know, like, nonstop. We have great dogs in this country. Having dogs that can smell stuff to alert them to things that maybe the metal detectors aren't missing. But we have to protect our schools. And it's not that hard. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff on the wall here.
Yeah.
Imagine if people got together who really wanted to get things done. And I think it has to be private. It can't be federal, because you know what it is with the government right now. So this DI hire situation.
Do you feel like that there is an apprehension to harden schools because it looks bad? Like why would people not do that? Why would people not do what you're saying?
Because the thing is greed. I always think of greed, or it's not really a big deal to them. Because
it
seems the only ones who are affected. Let's just call it what it is. Because if something keeps happening, you put a stop to it. It's not, you know, you will sit there and we will listen for hours and hours of these speeches and they come on all these talk shows, and all they talk about is other countries and all the energy they spent going after trying to convince us that a Republican president, Hitler, all the time they did that. You never hear nothing unless something happens.
Yeah.
And then when it does, and again, this is my perception. So it just feels to me, if you wanted to fix it, you could fix it. And blaming the NRA for it is BS. We have rotten human beings. We have people who grow up, whatever their situation is, that's not really wait and see what happens. Let's just assume it's going to happen and be prepared for it.
Yeah, it's going to happen again. We all know that we're going to be facing this same conversation again. And I'll say, you know, some people say
we have
the guns,
have
the mental health. Yeah. I mean,
we have men and women who serve this country who know what to look for, helping to support the police, having another set of eyes, having an understanding of what's going on. Oh, I don't want bulletproof windows and gun and metal detectors and servicemen at my schools. I do.
Yeah, you know
what?
It's an interesting.
You know,
go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's just, yeah, it might not be pretty, but everybody's safe.
If school choice was a real, if we had real school choice, and you got X amount of dollars to get your kid educated, and one school was hardened, and one school wasn't, wouldn't everybody pick the hardened school?
Yeah, I would imagine so. So I don't think it's the parents who would be. I'm so angry that we have a whole unit dedicated to protection of our schools. They have nothing else. Their whole time is watching schools. Teacher starts to seem like he's a little off. You start following reports. You use counseling. You can have people when you see a kid that looks a lot of delinquency, missing school, the way they're coming to school. You know, there's things that they can look for that they see, the tendencies, the nervous stuff that we normal people who have not been in war zones, who don't understand, because that's what this is. Individuals declaring war on our students. They're going in there to shoot to kill. They don't even care who they shoot, as long as they shoot someone. You know, and then the media makes them a martyr. And then he gets a documentary. No one remembers the damn name of the people shot. It's like I said, I have nothing positive to say about it, because to me, and I'm a facts guy, I'm a common sense guy, this doesn't seem that hard to me. You know, but we'll argue over personal responsibility is the reason why we elect somebody opposed to protecting making our schools. But our kids get screwed. Social media, they know who the predators are. They know who surfs. And just like they know every time if I say, oh, man, I agree with this Trump policy, it'll say I'm a danger to the community. But some guy pretending to be a 13-year-old trying to convince another 13-year-old to show up at McDonald's to meet them, he can just carry on free as day because he buys followers. Like, it's disgusting. Like, it's just, why do we treat our children so bad? I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's playing with, it's taking such a massive risk with the safety and security of our kids. I mean, ironically, this was very unfortunately ironic. Yesterday, we had gotten an email from one of my kids' schools that they were going to be doing a shelter in place or whatever they call that type of a drill that morning at 10:30. And I knew that was going to happen. I appreciate the heads up by the school that they're going to do that. But while I knew that drill was going on at the school, I was covering the Georgia situation. And I remember the first time that my kids had to go through one of these drills, because you and I didn't have to do that when we were in school. This wasn't a thing when we were in school. And it broke my heart to think about them having to pretend to hide from some sort of active, violent situation like that. But we're asking our kids to go through drills where they just go hide in the corner of a room. Like, it's a realistic situation enough to where we're like, you know, go here and hide and be quiet until we tell you it's okay. We're practicing that with our children right now, but we're not implementing that long list of things that you just said. That's absurd.
And that's but one thing, you need to have these conversations with your children. They need, unfortunately, it's a reality of our times that we live in now. You know, it's like, I'm sure in Israel, those children have to learn a lot of things they don't want to learn about terrorist attacks and invasions and things like that. I'm sure right now in Russia and Ukraine, the children are learning hard lessons about what the world is like. And I think you got to prepare your children. This whole protect them from everything, what good is that going to do with them when the moment literally could be happening at their time, to where you have a third grader who needs to know the difference between the sound of a firecracker and a gun going off. But unfortunately, because there's no help, you know, I mean, it's an afterthought. Literally, this has to stop. That's not good enough an answer.
I agree. You've got to
zero in on my house and tell me what I had for breakfast and dinner and how long I watched Fox News, and if I snuck on CNN for a couple seconds or whatever the hell I decided to do, they could tell me about everything I'm doing. Alexa can listen and tell you, and I mean, gives you ads on how you can buy more inflatable, whatever the hell your deal is. But Alexa can also hear a guy sitting there trying to talk about doing things to other people and hurting people and this, that, whatever. But for some reason, they always slip through the cracks. So my thing is, the best offense is a good defense, and it shouldn't be much. And that's why I keep my kids in homeschool. You know, I'm 50-50 with that, and I'm still pushing that all my kids be homeschooled, because it's just not worth the risk at this point.
Yeah, it's, you know, such a big risk.
And unfortunately, this guy survived, and, you know, he'll get the interviews and he'll get the documentary, and it's disgusting. And he'll get and people will write him letters and in jail and all this other crap. And it's like, what's the downside for people to pull this crap? You know, and that's the ugliness of it. You got to plan like it's going to happen in your school. It's just a matter of time. And that needs to be the mindset, because we do it with our banks. We do it with our professional sports. We do it with our institutions and buildings and, you know, like, you know, the Capitol, everything's got their own police department and stuff like that. Enough's enough. Protect our damn schools. It's not hard. And it's sad. We should care more about our kids.
Well, Tyrus, enough said, I think. Well said as well. Yeah. Thank you for being with us today and talking about it, because we do need to be talking about the straight facts. And that's what you always do with us. That's what people love you for. So thanks for doing that with us today. Talk to you soon. Tyrus Regular on Gutfeld, host of Maintaining with Tyrus on Outkick. And his book, Nuff Said, is out right now. Always love having the Fox News contributor here on The Andy Fry Show. Great conversation. All right, we're going to bring Ryan back in here for the next segment, along with Chris Terrell, who has been a longtime friend of ours on the YouTube chat. We've seen him out there among many of you listeners, but he wrote a book. He is a United States Navy veteran. He's an engineer, and he wrote a book called Modern Inheritance. This is a really, really important topic, and I almost want to just shut up and listen to what he has to say for the next 15 minutes, because he's going to give us a comprehensive guide that will help you fortify your digital life and any assets like that against modern threats like scams, hacks, identity theft. This is one of those things that you and I don't know nearly enough about because it's still kind of new. How do you protect yourself? How do you protect that legacy? Well, Chris Terrell has written the book on it, and he's going to talk to us about it when we come back. And go to the Annie Fry YouTube chat and ask your questions there. He's often in that chat. He'll be in studio with us next, and maybe he can answer some of your questions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Questions as well. We'll be right back.
We live in a modern world. Our lives have been digitized, from how we communicate to how we access our information to how we deal with money, store it, save it, spend it, shop with it, to how we chronicle our lives. Our memories, our photos, our life's work is all saved in some digital account. Modern Inheritance is a book created to protect those accounts. It's going to fortify your security, make sure that you are not the weak link getting hacked, scammed, or tricked out of access to those accounts, and it's going to back up that access for you in case you lose your passwords or your devices. And then someday it will pass all of that information onto your children when you move on. Make sure that your digital life makes it to the next generation.
It's such an important topic that we don't really talk about yet, because I don't think many people have thought these thoughts yet. Save one Chris Terrell, who is in studio with us now, a Navy veteran, an engineer, and he wrote the book, Modern Inheritance. Chris, welcome into the studio. It's great to have you here.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I put you right next to Ryan Wiggins. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, I guess that'll be all right. Sorry I didn't wear my shirt.
Sorry, I didn't wear my Lumi.
Yeah,
you know what? You can't get away with that. We're on a live stream. Talk about smell because you can't see it, but we can see you're wearing a very nice shirt.
Yeah, but it's not my shirt.
It's not your shirt.
He wasn't implying that he was shirtless.
I thought that's what he was saying. Chris,
we'll sit you down and explain it later. Can we talk about his book, please?
I don't know.
Would you rather talk about your book?
What do you want to talk about?
The Modern Inheritance is the book that we're going to discuss here. And if you go to the Annie Fry X account, Annie Fry Show, I've just linked to it. You can get directly to this book to learn more about it. Chris, you have thought the thoughts that a lot of people have estates planned out, trusts, wills, whatever. But there's a whole different world to thinking about your future after you're no longer here. And you've walked down that path to think about what needs to happen next. Why'd you come up with this concept?
Well, the simplest answer is Rosie, Edison, and Arthur. Those are my three kids. My wife, Brandy, absolutely amazing. I was raised by really good parents. I want to be a really good parent. And I want my legacy to live on. And if it's not there when I pass on, then that's not good. Mm-hmm. And then if they don't know how to access it when I pass on, that's not good. So the book tries to teach you real basic logic so people can't scam you, track or hack you. They can't trick you out of giving up your accounts, because people don't use like nefarious software anymore. Like, encryption is just so good now. They just do a little bit of research. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Annie, I want to pay you like $1,000 a month.
Sounds good.
That's all we can afford. We're a nonprofit. That's all we can afford. But we really like your take on, I don't know, like, Lutheran schools for kids mm-hmm. that aren't Lutheran. So we have mm-hmm. an outreach program. We just want you to log into this app and do some copy for us. You know, we think you're going to be great for it. And then they tell you to download this app, and it's malware, and it spies on you. It takes your passwords, and they don't steal your stuff right away. But someday, they're just like, all right, well, we have our passwords, we have our logins, and then they take your stuff. And you're like, I have no idea how that happened.
How many people right now are living life with this type of stuff in their system somewhere?
Well, considering $10 billion a year gets scammed from Americans.
And is he talking about the federal government or?
No, people. Oh. People. God. Yep. Brad and I were talking about that yesterday.
10 mil is a little low.
Yeah.
Ball,
10 billion from people.
10 billion, but only 1 million under Trump.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Yes. So, Chris, let's like define some things here to make this an easier conversation for people to consume. When you're talking about digital life and assets, what are those?
Well, like the little ad you ran kind of conveyed, we've converted our lives to a digital form. Our money is all online. How we communicate is all online. Your show is online. I can access your show from anywhere in the world at any time. And every way that we interact with other people now has an account. And everything that's valuable to us, be it money or just your memories or your life's work. Like Ryan's writing books and books and books. Sometimes just thoughts, maybe some of those thoughts.
Are you happy now, Ryan?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you can mention the name of it if you want to do, but...
Go ahead, buddy.
We're talking about his book, Modern Inheritance. The book is Modern Inheritance.
I've actually been looking forward to hearing about this because we've talked for a while about you writing this book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all of that is saved somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's all under an account. And if it doesn't even have to be valuable to them. If it's valuable to you, they can hold it over your head. They mm-hmm. can use ransomware. They can tell you you're locked out. They can just trick you in a phone call and make you think that you're locked out. So you just kind of have to be more aware of scams and scammers and social engineering tactics that are out there. And if you just add a couple steps to what you do every day, mm-hmm. just lo-fi, no technology, just logical steps,
yeah,
then it short circuits most scams.
Chris, as we've been talking, because I think, you know, you knew I had written a book, you were writing a book, you reached out to me on Twitter, I knew you from the chat. Brad, of course, said you were cool, so I'm like, okay, fine, we can talk about this stuff. So we've been talking about your book for quite a while. What you're saying today, though, is aspects that I didn't know you were writing about. Because as far as I knew, what you were writing about is how to plan for the future monetarily, how to estate plan. So is that, like, which one's the focus of the book? Is it avoiding the scams, or is it more about getting ready for the next generation? Because that's what I was assuming it was about.
Okay, so like our good friend Thomas Sowell says, there are no solutions, there are only trade-offs. So if you go and you make your security good, great, amazing, and then you lose your passwords or you drop your phone in a lake, then you're locked out. So the natural second part of the book is it backs up those accounts. Because if your security is really good, you don't want to lose access yourself.
Right.
And then the natural conclusion to that is someday your kid will actually inherit the book.
So okay. Chris, when you, let's talk a little bit. So we kind of have an understanding of what that digital life, what these assets are, and how we do live completely digital lives. There's really not much that we do at all that doesn't have a tether to something that is digital. What is your expertise in this realm? How'd you learn about this? I mean, you've told us at the very beginning what your passion is. It's your own family. It's your own children. What kind of expertise do you bring to the table that made you take the extra step, not just to help yourself, but to write Modern Inheritance and help other people listening right now?
Well, it actually started in the Navy almost 20 years ago, troubleshooting electrical systems, just real basic thought processes, kind of weeded out all the big issues. And then later in life, I was in charge of a digital art collection called Rhino World, and we raised money and saved 89 rhinos in South Africa from being poached.
Wow.
With Warriors for Rhinos and Warriors for Wildlife. And people in that community, because they were on like Bitcoin and blockchain, they were losing everything in one go of a scam. And I was like, well, like logically, if you would have just done this. Mm-hmm. So I wrote it down and then I started training those communities, because once someone in those communities gets hacked or scammed, they sell everything. And then that takes the value of the entire community down.
Mm.
So it ended up being a pretty valuable asset to have that training in place. And then it ended up developing into like a 6-course, almost college level course. And then I turned it into the book.
Is your advice in this book, the steps, the strategy, is it difficult?
Nope. I ran everything by my 74-year-old father. And if you didn't understand it, I put it in the appendix. There's an appendix that defines everything, and it is 74-year-old boomer proof.
So is the presidency. So
at least.
Now, moderninheritance.com. You can go to that website. You can go to the Annie Fry Show X account at Annie Fry Show. It's the current tweet, X post, whatever they are now on there. Tell me about how people, like, tell me mistakes, obvious mistakes people are making right now. You said someone makes you an offer, and the offer is always really nice. Don't believe any offers that you're going to get like that. But what are some other things that you could add to that anecdote of what people are doing or experiencing right now to just openly expose themselves to problems?
If you are ever in a situation where someone is asking you three things, either asking you to log into an account, to send money, or a third thing that's escaping my memory right now, I'll get back to it. But in three specific cases, or download anything to your computer,
like we were
talking about earlier. So if they're asking you to download anything, send money, or log into something, you need to do it independently. You need to be like, all right, I understand. Get out of that situation entirely and start from scratch and log into the account like you would as if no one had told you to do so. So like if Bank of America is like, hey, you've been scammed, you need to log in and change your thing, be like, all right, that's great. Hang up. Search for Bank of America on DuckDuckGo. Get their phone number from their website, call them and ask them. Like, just double check independently. So if you always take two lines to get to the finishing point, the scammer's path is never going to meet up with the real path.
Yeah, we had this earlier this year. My three-year-old, I guess she might have been two when she did it, broke her arm. And my 14-year-old son tripped in his dark bedroom, should clean his room, and fell into his desk and busted his lip open. So he had to have stitches, but since it was across the lip part where it goes from white to red of the lip, he had to have like a highly skilled plastic surgeon do it to make sure that it healed and his smile wasn't changed. So I had medical bills coming in from broken arm, and I had medical bills coming in from faceplant. And when you do something like that, you get a bill from the hospital, you get a bill from the doctor, or the pediatrician, you get a bill from the surgeon, you get a bill from the anesthesiologist or whatever it is. So I'm trying to keep track of all of these things. And there was one bill that I didn't pay. I don't know how I just didn't get to it. So they call you and they say, hey, we want to alert you to this account or whatever. And they were asking me to pay if I could pay over the phone. And I was like, I will call you back.
Exactly.
I'm not going to nobody is going to call me and I'll be like, here's my credit card.
Right.
Ever. And I guess digitally, that's a very important process to follow also, is to just you should be skeptical of everything, but don't do it on their terms. Do it on your own terms.
Yeah. Even if it's your own mom, unfortunately, they can deep fake voices. They can absolutely pretend to be anybody.
Next time your mom calls you, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to verify this.
I already do.
Just be like, whatever. Use any excuse to get out of it. Be like, if they're like, hey, send me this money on PayPal. Be like, oh, I just uninstalled PayPal. Give me 5 minutes.
How?
And then call your mom. Call your mom on your wife's phone, not your phone.
That's also true. How?
And be like, hey, did you actually just call me?
The deep faking of the voice thing, that seems like next level. Like, here, this is an honest thought that I have in my mind, which I know is stupid, but I'm just saying it out loud because y'all might be thinking it too. I'm not big enough for someone to be spending time deep faking my mom's voice. Like, nobody would waste that much time to do the research to deep fake my kid's voice. Mom, I need help. Send money or whatever. I feel like you'd have to be a certain level of person for a scammer to take the time to go through that.
But if they're running the scam 100 times a day, then sure, you're definitely worth it because you're in the range of people who think that. You're in the range of people who won't think twice. So it's just easy. It's much easier to get, 10 people that are thinking exactly how you just said to just send like $100 than it is to go get $1,000 from a rich guy that has layers and layers of security.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're speaking with Chris Terrell. He's a United States Navy veteran. He's an engineer, and he wrote the book Modern Inheritance. You can go to moderninheritance.com. You can search Modern Inheritance on Amazon. You can go to Annie Fry Show on X and see the link there as well. To learn more about this book, I really encourage you to learn about this because Chris knows what he's talking about. At the end, at the completion of the book, if I get this, if my parents get it, at the completion of the book, what do you then have to hand over to somebody?
You take the book and you put it in a fireproof safe and you lock it up. And then in your will it to your next of kin. Then they get the book and the book, the same instructions it gave you, it leaves off and they pick up and it tells them how to reverse the process to get access to all your things. Even if the passwords change, because obviously it'll be years from now. The main things is you want to secure your email and you want to secure your phone provider. Because they will email you a confirmation code if you change any password. They will text you a confirmation number if you change any password. Your two-factor authentication is almost always email. It's almost always phone. So those are the two you got to really, really make sure are secure.
I was getting my phone screen fixed at a store, and there was a woman who came in, and it was I was just sitting there while they were trying to fix the screen in the back room, and these parents came in. And they had this phone, and they're like, we're really trying to get into this phone. And it was an iPhone. And they're like, what information do you have? They're like, it's my daughter's phone. She passed away last week. Now, I don't know the details on any of that, but they didn't have the password to get into the phone. It's an iPhone. I'm not going to speculate on what happened for the young woman to lose her life, but it was obviously very tragic, sudden, and you know every single one of her photos, like so many memories, are gone if they can't get in that phone. And what I was gleaning from sitting at a table in a lobby where I could hear this conversation going, that phone's never getting unlocked because they don't have the code. And it was so heartbreaking. Like these parents, I could tell that they had tried a lot of other ways and they were just looking for a lifeline. But I was just thinking, like, there's a 4-digit code that just exists out there that would provide them an enormous amount of peace, maybe, but also just memory. And they can't get to it. And my recollection was if you try too many different codes, then it becomes a paperweight or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, for the first part of the book where you are actually filling it out is devices. So like your computers, your phones, and then you get into the accounts. So I had a friend, his dad passed away more suddenly than they expected. And his family just had such a hard time getting through his computers, his memories, his bills, like everything. And so that was one of the other inspirations is like, I want to cover everything that someone has to deal with. You don't want to think, you want to have very clear instructions. You want it to be laid out in front of you. And then those people that inherit all your stuff or get all your accounts, they'll also have the benefit of the first third of the book that teaches them how to protect themselves.
And I would think too that In many families, like in my personal family, I do the money stuff. My husband has an idea of what's going on, but he doesn't do that. He does other things. He does all the school stuff. He's a teacher. I don't know what's going on over there. Are my kids in detention? Are they getting good grades? Do I have the same 4 kids at the end of the night? Those are pretty much my check, check, check. But if I were to go, I think he knows the password to my MacBook here. So he could get into my email account and my passwords are all saved in there. But if he couldn't, if something got locked out or whatever, I don't know what he would do.
You probably shouldn't have said that on the air, that your passwords are all on your email account.
I was lying.
They're definitely not. They won't be by the end of tonight, anyone listening. But yeah, same. My wife knows to look in the book.
Yeah.
It's in our safe and she knows to go through the steps and she doesn't have to worry about it or think about it. And it's no source of extra stress.
When I say my passwords are on my email account, I mean, they're like, I don't have them listed.
Right.
But everybody saves passwords. Should we not be saving passwords?
We'll do it in the book and then lock it up. You should not have your password saved digitally. They should be written down.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the value of writing them down. Is it a danger to have them saved digitally also for convenience?
It's the same. It's the trade-off again. Convenience versus security.
You're risking security.
Yeah.
When you have them saved.
Yes.
Just for the simple purpose of if you got access to anybody's, I mean, pretty much everybody out there who uses a Gmail account and saves all their passwords to their Gmail account, it's a pretty common practice.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, encryption is so good these days. No one's going to backdoor your passwords. They're going to call you and get access to your Gmail through a series of conversations and have you log into Gmail.
Okay, I'm going to change. We got a break. I got to change up my passwords. Got to do it right now. I'm going to change them all to Modern Inheritance 123.
There you go.
The I in inheritance is going to be an exclamation point.
That's the same as code in my luggage.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Chris, it's an honor to have you in here. And this is so important. It's not something that people think about. And I think a lot of folks out there are thinking about it right now. And it's moderninheritance.com or just search it up on Amazon. Thanks for being in here. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Take care. We'll talk to you again and follow up after I'm going to do all of this. I'm going to do it all soon because I feel very inadequately prepared. And I will follow up with you, Chris, after I do. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the YouTube live chat poll. What percentage of your extended family would vote for you if you ran for federal office? That's a fun one. We're learning more about the Walls family. What about yours? We'll be right back. So if you think about how prepared you are before reading that Modern Inheritance book by Chris, like on a scale of 0 to 10, how prepared are you right now?
Well, my wife knows a lot of my passwords because I try to use the same, you know, not maybe not the same password, but like the same core that I just kind of keep changing things close to it. So I would hope she'd be able to figure out how to get into most of my stuff based on that, but not everything. It would not be easy still. So I tell you what, the second half of talking to Chris there, talking about the, you know, the safety stuff in the beginning was mm-hmm. interesting, but then hearing, you know, because he left us books here. We were holding them up to the camera there, Modern Inheritance. I was like, by the end of that, I'm like, I actually need that book. And I would imagine that most people listening realize that they need this book because it's just, it's got a bunch of pages. It kind of walks you through how to leave the information that your family would need about your digital stuff in it. So it's just an easier way for you to do that.
The thing to me that kind of really shifted my thought, and I would say I'm probably a 2 or a 3 in preparedness.
Yeah, you never said how prepared you are.
On a scale of 1 to 3?
1 to 10.
Go on, Brad.
1 to 10?
I said 0 to 10.
Go quickly.
I'll say 5.
5. Yeah, I think that I'm less prepared than Ryan is then, because I think I'm a 2 or a 3. But like the thing that really shifted my attention was the title of the book, which is Modern Inheritance, and your story about that girl with the iPhone. I have never thought of any of my stuff as inheritance to be passed on. None of my digital, none of my social stuff, none of that. But one of the things we talked about in a class that I took in college was we're going to get to a point where your digital footprint is going to be how your families remember you, and technology will probably exist.
We're getting to a point. We're there.
And
right?
Well, I think we're there, but he was talking about, our professor was talking about how technology will exist where your ancestors will be able to access a file and talk to a AI digital version of you.
Man, mine's going to be so mouthy.
Great-great-great-grandma
seems angry.
Well, based on the era that we have a lot of recordings of us, we're going to respond about Donald Trump a lot. Like, no, that was...
Tell me how to make great-great-great-grandma's apple pie.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was a great man. That's not even something... That's probably something my AI thing would say. I'd put myself right around a 0. Because I take care of so much of the stuff, and I haven't... I'm relying on their... I think there are people who know how to get into my phone. They know the...
That's really important.
It's huge. They know how to get my phone. My husband has access to probably everything that I have access to on digitally. He could get into my email, no problem. I can get into his email, no problem. To my knowledge, we don't really check each other's emails. That's not really who he is at all. But I have a lot of work to do. And since I was going to buy the book, I'm going to buy the book for somebody else. I think it's a great gift.
That's what we were just talking about. It's a good Christmas gift.
Yeah, if you were to be looking for a gift, it's a great price. And to be able to give it to someone, and he said it's boomer proof. Which is
I mean, it's a book, so you'd hope everybody knows how to do that.
Literally at the end, it's got, when it's talking to you about, it's a workbook. So it's not like it's something that is just, process after process after process. It's literally the thing you're going to put, like you said, in your fireproof safe that is going to be used by those. And I'm thinking about, I've heard stories of people who've become widows or widowers, and it's such a struggle. And I mean, everything hurts so much as it is, but then you're trying to do like common basic things. And when you can't do them and they did it, that makes the hurt exponentially worse. So the book's Modern Inheritance. And Chris is one of our chat members, which is so cool. Like, the reason we're connected with him is simply because he's one of the people who was here in the chat, and he just happened to have this expertise, write this book, and it's great to have him in here.
Is there a name for the people in the chat anymore?
I mean, they have called themselves Fannies in the past, mm-hmm. and I questioned that, and they liked it, and so it's Fannies with two E's. I don't know. It could be the Fanny Pack.
I like Fanny Pack. Was there a time where they were kicking around the Friars?
I hope not.
Because there was a time when they were the Fannies, and then, oh, wait, do we need to reassess this?
Do they need a name?
I think so, yeah. Just like a celebrity couple. Everybody in the chat is kind of one big celebrity couple.
I think as soon as your celebrity couple gets a name, it's not for long.
Yeah.
The YouTube live chat poll, what percentage of your extended family would vote for you if you ran for federal office? I have responses from two people in my family right now. We'll talk about it in the next hour. And they've given me the percentages they think of our family that would vote for me. And I'd ask you guys to reach out to some people. Did you get any responses?
Not yet.
I got one response.
Okay. So we'll talk about that later. Rick says on YouTube, only about a fourth of my extended family is nuts. Those are the ones who'd vote for me. Rick is looking at 25%. HW said, my extended family is very small, 11 of us. So I think 75 to 100% would vote for me. We've got these broken down in 25% increments. Other than my sister, extremely liberal, but I love her, who would probably not, but that's okay. KD said 50 to 74%. I have quite a bit of lefties in my extended family. Gary said 99%. Actually, I'll be running for trustee in Maryville this year. If you live in Maryville, go vote. There you go. I would vote for Gary. Mm. Dirk said 100%. I'm magnetic. I don't react to things. I respond. I'd push to reduce taxes on donuts, but make up for it by increasing taxes on bagels.
I'm not voting for him.
I'm voting for him twice. I live in Illinois. Kurt says, even though none of my family are in their right minds, they would get this one right. Hell no.
It's much more personal with some people.
You know, the thing about this is, and a present company excluded, you would really be much more likely to vote for your family member if you didn't agree on everything, if you like your family member. You probably wouldn't know every single policy issue that your family member has, unlike my family. And yours as well. Give your comments to us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and come vote. We'll be right back. Think about how prepared you are before reading that Modern Inheritance book by Chris. Like, on a scale of 0 to 10, how prepared are you right now?
Well, my wife knows a lot of my passwords because I try to use the same, not the same password, but like the same core that I just kind of keep changing things close to it. So I would hope she'd be able to figure out how to get into most of my stuff based on that, but not everything. It would not be easy still. So I tell you what, the second half of talking to Chris there, talking about the safety stuff in the beginning was mm-hmm. interesting. But then hearing, because he left us books here. We were holding them up to the camera there, Modern Inheritance. I was like, by the end of that, I'm like, I actually need that book. And I would imagine that most people listening realize that they need this book because it's got a bunch of pages. It kind of walks you through how to leave the information that your family would need about your digital stuff in it. So it's just an easier way for you to do that.
The thing to me that kind of really shifted my thought, and I would say I'm probably a 2 or a 3 in preparedness.
Yeah, you never said how prepared you are.
On a scale of 1 to 3?
1 to 10.
Go on, Brad.
1 to 10?
I said 0 to
Go
10.
Quickly.
I'll say five.
Five. Yeah, I think that I'm less prepared than Ryan is then, because I think I'm a two or a three. But like the thing that really shifted my attention was the title of the book, which is Modern Inheritance, and your story about that girl with the iPhone. I have never thought of any of my stuff as inheritance to be passed on. None of my digital, none of my social stuff, none of that. But one of the things we talked about in a class that I took in college was, we're going to get to a point where your digital footprint is going to be how your families remember you, and technology will probably exist.
I don't think we're getting to a point. We're there.
And
right?
Well, I think we're there, but there, he was talking about, our professor was talking about, how technology will exist where your ancestors will be able to access a file and talk to a AI digital version of you.
Man, mine's going to be so mouthy.
Ours, great-great-great-grandma
seems angry.
Well, based on the era that we have a lot of recordings of us, we're going to respond about Donald Trump a lot. Like, no, no, that was...
Tell me how to make great-great-great-grandma's apple pie.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was a great man. That's not even something... That's probably something my AI thing would say. I'd put myself right around a zero. Because I take care of so much of the stuff, and I haven't, I'm relying on their, I think there are people who know how to get into my phone. They know the...
That's really important.
It's huge. They know how to get my phone. My husband has access to probably everything that I have access to on digitally. He could get into my email, no problem. I can get into his email, no problem. To my knowledge, we don't really check each other's emails. That's not really who he is at all. But I have a lot of work to do. And since I was going to buy the book, I'm going to buy the book for somebody else. I think it's a great gift.
That's what we were just talking about. It's good Christmas gift.
Yeah, if you were to be looking for a gift, it's a great price. And to be able to give it to someone, and he said it's boomer proof, which is...
I mean, it's a book, so you'd hope knows how to do that.
Literally at the end, it's got... when it's talking to you about, it's a workbook. So it's not like it's something that is just, you know, process after process after process. It's literally the thing you're going to put, like you said, in your fireproof safe that is going to be used by those. And I'm thinking about, I've heard stories of people who've become widows or widowers, and it's such a struggle. And I mean, everything hurts so much as it is, but then you're trying to do like common basic things. And when you can't do them, and they did it, that makes the hurt exponentially worse. So the book's Modern Inheritance. And Chris is one of our chat members, which is so cool. Like, the reason we're connected with him is simply because he's one of the people who was here in the chat, and he just happened to have this expertise, write this book, and it's great to have him in here.
Is there a name for the people in the chat anymore?
I mean, they have called themselves Fannies in the past, mm-hmm. and I questioned that, and they liked it, and so it's Fannies with two E's. I don't know. It could be the Fanny Pack.
I like Fanny Pack. Was there a time where they were kicking around the Friars?
I hope not.
Because there was a time when they were the Fannies, and then, oh, wait, do we need to reassess this?
Do they need a name?
I think so, yeah. Just like a celebrity couple. You know, everybody in the chat is kind of one big celebrity couple.
I think as soon as your celebrity couple gets a name, it's not for long.
Yeah.
The YouTube live chat poll, what percentage of your extended family would vote for you if you ran for federal office? I have responses from two people in my family right now. We'll talk about it in the next hour. And they've given me the percentages they think of our family that would vote for me. And I'd ask you guys to reach out to some people. Did you get any responses?
Not yet.
I got one response.
Okay. So we'll talk about that later. Rick says on YouTube, only about a fourth of my extended family is nuts. Those are the ones who'd vote for me. Rick is looking at 25%. HW said, my extended family is very small, 11 of us. So I think 75 to 100% would vote for me. We've got these broken down in 25% increments. Other than my sister, extremely liberal, but I love her, who would probably not, but that's okay. KD said 50 to 74%. I have quite a bit of lefties in my extended family. Gary said 99%. Actually, I'll be running for trustee in Maryville this year. If you live in Maryville, go vote. There you go. I would vote for Gary. Dirk said, 100%. I'm magnetic. I don't react to things. I respond. I'd push to reduce taxes on donuts, but make up for it by increasing taxes on bagels.
I'm not voting for him.
I'm voting for him twice. I live in Illinois. Kurt says, even though none of my family are in their right minds, they would get this one right. Hell no.
It's much more personal with some people.
You know, the thing about this is, and a present company excluded, you would really be much more likely to vote for your family member if you didn't agree on everything, if you like your family member. You probably wouldn't know every single policy issue that your family member has, unlike my family. And yours as well. Give your comments to us on the Andy Fry YouTube channel and come vote. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.